Radio now.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Monday. Hope everybody had a great weekend. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ and the website 1700thechamp.com. I'm trying to see what I have coming on tonight. It's a doubleheader NFL night. We have Titans and Bills. It gets going at 6 o'clock pregame right when I get off the show. And then later you're going to have Vikings and Eagles joined in progress. So lots of football to talk about today as well. I want to take just a couple of seconds here to thank the sponsors of the show. Des Moines Orthopedic, Heritage Building Maintenance, Woodman Control, Iowa Cubs, Northwest Bank, and Palmer Group, along with Come and Go and BetMGM. I couldn't do this without it, and if I couldn't do this, I wouldn't be able to talk to my next guest. It's Coach Kevin O'Hare. He's at KOHare55 on Twitter. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Garrett, how are you?
Good. Good to talk to you. I had a couple of things I definitely wanted to talk to you about, and I know I always bring you on here and I make you talk basketball. I know you like football. I know you like watching football and everything, but you're getting close to your season. Let's start this way. Once again, you coach freshman basketball at Dowling Catholic and assistant coach with varsity as well.
Yep. Yeah, so you maybe have a question, but yeah, we're getting ready. Open gyms, all that good stuff are going on. Light workouts with our football players because obviously they're in season, so they're not doing any live work. But yeah, we're going a couple days, 2-3 days a week already. It started 2 weeks ago, and we'll go through first week of November and then give them a week off. And that second week of November, we'll start practice.
Practice second, man, it's going to come fast, buddy. I know you're looking forward to it, but boy, is that going to come fast.
Yeah, we need I think 2 more months before that the season begins. We got a lot of work to do, and obviously, like most teams, we got a lot of kids who play football and stuff, so they'll be going right up until the season. So it's always nice if you can give them some time to rest and rejuvenate and all that good stuff.
For those parents like myself, we've gone through this before, and it has its ebb and flow. I think we're getting ready to ebb back into multi-sport kids. I think there was, for these last few years, I think there was some over-pushing to, you know, prioritize or do things to be seen, not to be seen. I think that might be changing again just because, you know, maybe this grouping just sees things differently or coaching's different. I don't know, but what's your thoughts on that?
I mean, the multi-sport athletes, it's a great thing, obviously. I think a lot of sports, they tie into one another. So when you get done with one, everything that you've done through that current sport kind of ties into what you're doing next, whether it's eye-hand coordination, speed, agility, quickness, things along those lines. The big key, though, with multi-sport athletes is when you're in your season, obviously that's your number one priority, whatever that is, but you have to find 15 or 20 minutes, 4 or 5 days a week, depending on the sport, to work on the next season's sport or the whatever. And that's the challenging part. If you're in football season, right, it takes a toll on you. You got school, you got 2-3 hours of practice, you got homework, you got dinner, you got family life. It's tough. So, you know, again, if you're trying to be a basketball player and a good one at that, you've got to find 15, 20, 25 minutes a day or every other day just to get some shots in, get some ball handling in, so that you're up to speed with all those non-football athletes or not all those non-baseball sport athletes or whatever, pick the sport, pick the season. It's those that don't do anything 2 or 3 months leading into your sport, again, whatever it is, that struggle a little bit just because they haven't put enough time into it because they're focusing so much on their in-season sport, which is what they should be doing, which is why you're not asking a lot out of them. Just, again, 15, 20 minutes. To work on a few things just so that you're ready when the season comes.
You know, you always have that, it's good to be a multi-sport athlete, but you have that little bit of twitch that's different in every sport. hand-eye coordination in baseball and basketball kind of relate a little bit. Football, you're looking for more bulk, and basketball and wrestling, you're looking for more lean bulk. I mean, there's a lot of different things. So, you know, just for those parents out there, you know, you do need to take some time to get your body to adjust. Going from football to basketball is such a crazy thing. And even going from track and field to baseball, even though you think, well, you're running, it's totally different running, and it can cause issues as always. The next one I wanted to ask you today, I just wanted to get your opinion on this. Becky Hammon just won the WNBA championship coaching for Las Vegas. She was a great college player, NBA player, or WNBA player, was one of the head assistants with the San Antonio Spurs, and went back to the Las Vegas Aces because she just wasn't getting a shot. I know that I know that you watch, and I know that you always are looking. Becky Hammon, probably, if this was a different time, should be able to be a head coach in the NBA. Do you ever think she's going to get her shot?
Yeah, I do. And again, when you have Greg Popovich, a Spurs organization, and a lot of other people backing you, I think it's just a matter of time. I mean, again, you're starting to see, and we've seen it for even, you know, a few years, but women officials and women in NFL, and East High School has a women coach on their football team with Coach Tyler, who's a Dowling grad. It's happening more and more, as it should. She's clearly proven herself everywhere that she's been, starting as a player, working with Pop and the Spurs organization, and you can only imagine what she's learned through that, and experience-wise and knowledge, and now she turned it over to the WNBA in her first year there. Granted, she's got a very talented team, but what she did there was, you know, remarkable. And so, again, her resume, I think, speaks for itself. It just comes down to, I think, people wanting to take chances on people in general, and what they think or how they think people respond to certain things. And, you know, sooner or later, you got to get over certain things and, you know, take a look at a body of work, take a look at who a person is, what they've done, things along those lines. And I think her time will come sooner rather than later.
Once again, we're talking to Coach Kevin O'Hare. He's the head freshman basketball coach at Dowling, assistant coach for the high school. Good friend, and it's great to have him on here. You know, I think it's one of those things. It could be eighth grade basketball. It could be your freshman team. It could be the varsity team. It can be college. I always think that you need, you know, whatever your strengths of your head coach are, and there's very rarely are you going to have a coach that has all those strengths. You have to bring people in and that think differently than you do. If you don't, you're missing out. You're missing a critical part, because in your mind, my mind, when we coach, we're thinking we're doing it the right way. And then somebody shows me stuff. I get shown stuff all the time, especially on the golf course. And I'm like, oh my gosh, where was that 6 months ago? That has to happen in even with you coaching as long as you've coached.
Yeah. And that's why I think you start in, you know, you see whether in football, right? You have an offensive coordinator, you have a defensive coordinator, you have specialty coaches, linebackers and D backs and running back. And you have all these people that specialize in certain things, because obviously a head coach can't do it all. And so they're all bringing in new things. And, you know, I think you're starting to see that in the basketball world. You know, you turn things over to an assistant to run the offense, assistant to run the defense. Obviously, a head coach will facilitate, make all decisions and stuff like that. But, you know, most head coaches that are really good will say they surround themselves with really, really good assistant coaches that make them look good, which is usually the case. And, yeah, I think the more nuances throughout every game and every sport, it's just hard to keep up with everything as a head coach. So bringing in really good people who think differently. Again, it's your job to say no or yes to whatever he or she is telling you to do. But just to get ideas thrown at you and have you think a different way is super important.
All right. I'm gonna put you on the spot here. So it's college football season. It's NFL season. So let's start with college. Who are you following in college? And how's college football going for you?
College football is going horrible for me. I am a Nebraska Cornhusker fan.
Oh, my gosh, Kevin. Sorry.
I know, and I appreciate that. I again, born in Omaha, moved here when I was 10. I brought all that big red with me. So, obviously, struggles are happening. So hopefully we get that corrected and we bring over your coach, Matt Campbell, to Lincoln, and we get all that figured out. So in the state of Iowa here, because I'm such a Nebraska fan, I am not a Hawkeye fan unless it comes to women's basketball. I am more of an Iowa State person. So that's kind of my quick take.
As much as I love you, I think the chances of Coach Campbell going over there are shrinking daily. But I do think they're learning a lesson, and I think a lot of schools are learning a lesson. Just because somebody plays for the school or has ties with the school doesn't make them be the best fit for a school. Sometimes it makes it worse, and you know, that's one of those things that happens. And I like that you said locally here. When you look at basketball this year coming up, and out of all men's and women's teams in this state, I think the only one that the biggest rebuilding job is going to be at UNI, losing AJ Green, a couple other players moving away. But I still think they have a ton of talent, and Coach Jacobson is so good at what he does and what he brings out of players. Can you remember a time that the four women's team and the four men's team are going to be as good and probably some ranked at the beginning of the season?
Yeah, you're right. And without, you know, put a ton of thought into it, the short answer is no. I mean, seven of the eight with you and I men's basketball, probably just being below that tier, seven of the eight are on paper going to be really, really good. Jacobson's resume and body of work and everything he does with what he always gets is remarkable. He'll have them where they need to be, and they'll be just fine with Bowen Bourne and others. But no, I mean, again, the Drake men's basketball, all the people they bring back, what Darren's done there, unreal. TJ and Fran have obviously done their stuff. And then the women's programs, you know, with Iowa and Iowa State, they speak for themselves and who they bring back, and both of them probably being in the top 10 to start the year. And then Pullman and Warren doing an unbelievable job in the Missouri Valley.
The love of my life when I was 16 years old, Tanya Warren. as she was
Lincoln, right?
Yep, she was a high school senior. I was probably a high school sophomore. Saw her game. She was really cool. She's very nice too. And she still is. She's an awesome interview. And I agree with that. And you know, you have University of Iowa, you know, they're signing some kids. Iowa State has they had their recruiting class. Next year's recruiting class was on campus this past weekend. That is a loaded group for Iowa State as well. With what they have coming back this year, I think all those are going to be fun. But the ticket in this state is in Iowa City with all the talent that Iowa State has and all the talent that the Iowa Hawkeye women have. What a game that's going to be.
Yeah, it's going to be unreal. And I was fortunate to be at the one in Ames at Hilton last year. And, I mean, they're going to get, you know, 10,000 to 15,000, and that was unreal. And if you weren't on the Cyclone side of things, you heard it all, and you were on the wrong end. And so I can only imagine what it's going to be with Carver, what they've done in the last year and a half with their sellouts and things along those lines. And it's got to be one of the top three women's basketball games on the docket next year, period.
And we got about 2 minutes left, and I really want to talk to you this too as well. With name, image, and likeness, a lot of it is focused on football, and we all know that. And It's focus on NCAA basketball. It's really strange, and I think we're kind of headed in this direction. I think there are more name, image, likeness opportunities for some of these collegiate women than there are for collegiate men. I think you're going to see ratings and attendance start to close a little bit in those two. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think it will too. And again, I think it's really good for the sport and for all sports. And you know, from the women's side of things, it's only going to help bring them up to, call it what you want, speed or whatever, with the men's game and stuff like that. But you know, there's with NIL, there's still got to be some type of guidelines at some
right.
point. You know, to make it, again, fair is not even the right word, but just to to keep it, you know, regulated to a degree before it gets, which it already has, super out of hand. But there's still got to be some restrictions to a degree. The committee's got to figure that out. And I'm sure they're talking and trying to, but I think it's obviously great for the game, and it's bringing women's sports in general just more to light as it should have however long ago.
As a coach, what do you think is a bigger issue, name, image, and likeness, or the way they've been using the way that the transfer portal is being set up right now? I think they're going to make a couple of changes, but which one do you think's either been the bigger headache or caused the most damage?
Name, image, likeness, because I don't think you have the transfer portal like it is without NIL. And obviously it would be there, but it's so big right now because of NIL, I think. I think NIL causes more of the transfers personally. So I think that's where a little bit more of the headache is, because again, if I'm Noah Carter at UNI and I'm in Cedar Falls, I might not get, you know, a ton of attention or action there. Now I'm going to Missouri. You know, maybe there's some things that can happen. That's just one person
right, out
of so many. And again, I just think it's giving kids more of an out to go do some things in different cities, bigger schools, things along those lines. It's just caused probably a little bit more of a headache.
I agree with that. And I think one thing that you could have helped too, if they'd have brought a rule out that if coaches, you know, they recruit kids and then they leave for more money, that the money that they were due from that school or what they were going to do, they throw that money in there to kind of split between some of these kids for leaving them like that. But I agree with you. It's a big issue. Kevin, as always, it's always great to talk to you. It goes way too fast. I appreciate it, buddy.
Hey, thanks. Talk to you soon.
All right. Coach Kevin O'Hare, a good friend of the program, good friend of mine, and just a great coach and a great guy. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM. Be right back.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3. Nothing's off limits. Join the conversation now on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Monday. Hope everybody had a good day off a great weekend, hopefully. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports, Facebook at 1700 The Champ, and the website 1700thechamp.com. Coming up tonight, right after the show, you're going to get, they're going to go right into Titans and Bills. 6 o'clock pregame. That will run its course. You'll join Viking and Eagles in progress, and that will start up. You also have next week, you have Hawkeye Huddle continues Tuesdays at 6, and Chiefs Kingdom first show Tuesday at 7. So you have those out there and available as well. This segment will be brought to you by DeMoss, Des Moines Orthopedic, helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. You can always check their DeMoss.com website for their urgent care. It always shows you how long a wait you have, so you know where you're at in the system. One of the great things about going there for urgent care, if you are sports, especially for sports injuries, they have doctors on staff that know how to work on those things. And it makes it easier for you and to take care of you and get you started on the right track. The other thing that's very important right now, they purchased Engineered Performance. Engineered Performance by DeMoss is an exceptional opportunity to become the leader in elite sports rehabilitation and performance training in Central Iowa. That's the part that Engineered Performance brings you. They have locations in Prairie Trail District in Ankeny, the Grimes North Sports Complex, and in Huxley. So just new things that DeMoss is taking care of. Remember, they are your experts in foot, ankle, hand, upper extremity, hip, knee, shoulder, spine, trauma, sport med, and urgent injury. They will help you get through, show you the right way to do things, and to make your activities, your sports activities, better. All right, so let's start. We'll start with college football. I'm going to start with the Iowa Hawkeyes. What a crazy night. You knew that storms were coming. You didn't know how long delays were. So when you look at this game as a whole, did it answer all the questions that the Iowa Hawkeyes coaching staff, fans, everybody? Probably not. Nevada, not a very good team. With all the delays and all that, probably weren't into it as much as they did. But listen, you got 27 points. You had times where I think you had times that you saw what your offense could be. Spencer Petras, could he had a better game? He was 14 for 26, 175, a touchdown. He had no turnovers. You know, it's still completing 50% of his passes. The way the passing game works for the Iowa Hawkeyes, that needs to get bigger. But I think you're still seeing that. They rushed for 162 yards. Would have been 178. Spencer Petras, it looks probably closer that he was sacked five times for minus 16 yards. You got some of your receivers. Reganey had two catches. Bruce had two. Gavin Williams had three. Laporta two. Keegan Johnson. Brody Breck even was in on one as well. They had no fumbles. The defense looked good as always. They had a whole bunch of tackles for losses, a lot of sacks. If anything, confidence should be a little bit better. You get another week of practice, but then you're going to be traveling. You're going to go to Rutgers. And that's the before this game happened. And I think you got out of it what you needed to get out of it. You scored 10 more points than they scored 17 more points than they had scored in the first two games. Now you hit a gauntlet here. You're playing at Rutgers. You're playing Michigan at home. What a game that's going to be. I mean, the number of defensive stars on the field in that game is going to be incredible. You have to go to Illinois. You have to go to Ohio State. Neither of those are going to be easy games. The Rutgers game, by the way, is at 6 o'clock next Saturday. You then have Northwestern at home. Then you travel to Purdue. You have Wisconsin at home. You travel to Minnesota, and you end up with Nebraska. If the offense keeps going the way it was, he has to be better. Play calling has to be better. It was at least more open and had more people. The more people that keep getting healthy, the better it's going to be. He has to make some of those throws into completions. He just has to. That's the thing that you're looking for. And the one thing, I don't know if the rain hurt, if the rain helped, whatever it was, that was a game that is the outcome that you needed to see. That's what you expected from your defense. And I think that's what they, you know, kind of wanted from their offense. And they had a couple of huge, big runs. And you hope that they're back on track. And I don't see any reason why they're not. You have to have trust in your quarterback. And I know it's difficult. And on this show, I said it was difficult. He is a Division I starting quarterback in the Big Ten. You have higher expectations than what's currently happening. But you got to win. Now you have to continue it. You can't let down with Rutgers. Is Rutgers a top 25 team? No, but you're playing at home and they have wins. So it's something that needs to get your attention. If you turn the table on to Iowa State, what did we want to see out of Iowa State after the Iowa game? Probably a little bit more consistency on offense would have been something that you wanted to see. You had Hunter Deckers threw for 268 yards. They ran for 163 yards. They held Ohio to 209 yards passing, 24 yards rushing. Not a lot of you know, you had one fumble on a snap that Hunter didn't handle correctly. I don't think that you can mess with the defense. Still had a couple. They had a couple of passes picked off. I mean, they picked off a couple of passes. I think when you look at that game from someone who has been going to Iowa State games for a while, that has the tendency to be the letdown game before you move on. You have Baylor coming in next week. It's the 11 o'clock game. It's the Big 12 game that everybody's going to be watching at that time spot. It's against a rival. It's somebody that it should be a good game. Somebody asked me today at work what I thought the opening point spread would be. That is the million-dollar question. If I had to do it, I would probably, since it's in Ames, I'd probably put Iowa State -1.5. So that would mean that if it was, you know, that'd be Baylor maybe even 4 if it was at home. If it was at Baylor, different game. 11 o'clock start time. Always interesting what happens on those 11 o'clock start times. But I think it has the chance of being a really good game. Baylor's 2-1. They pass the ball. I mean, they have 535 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 pick. Hunter Deckers has 745, 8 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. They ran for 237. Brock's one run for 280. Their matchup predictor has Baylor 52.8% over 47.2%. You know, it's going to be interesting. Right now, consensus pick is Iowa State -2.5. I hadn't seen that yet. Over under 45.5. I think that might be a little low. I mean, they're pretty close. They're pretty close in teams. Coach Aranda and Coach Campbell, very intriguing, interesting coaches. I think that is one of the bigger things between the two that I like about it is they're different. They're different on how, not different between each other, but different than a lot of college coaches, the way they handle their kids, the way they handle their press conferences, the way they do all of that. I like how both of them do that. It's not about them. It's about the kids. It's about everything that goes on in the program, how they're trying to keep it at a level. I know everybody doesn't like hearing the process word or chemistry and all that, but it matters. It has to matter. And that, you know, that was one of the things that when we talked after that Iowa game, that was the last thing in the process was for Coach Campbell to beat the Iowa Hawkeyes. He hadn't done it. That you're slowing the process. You're slowing the idea of not recruiting out of state, but in-state recruiting. If you can't win that game, it hurts the process. And he finally won that game. And I think that matters. This is a huge deal. You get Baylor, and then you go to Kansas, which has not been a big game, but Kansas is playing really well. And then you get K-State at home, which is always a tough game and always a big game. You travel to Texas. You get Oklahoma, you get West Virginia, you get Oklahoma State. You got some payback for Texas Tech, and TCU's not playing very well. So there's wins out there. There's ways to get to where you want to be. There's a number that you can get to. I think that if you're 3-0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games left. Eight and four, 9-3. If you play well, I think that's the stuff that you're shooting for. You know, that game in Texas. I mean, that's an incredible tough game when you look at it at the beginning of the year. Now with a backup quarterback, you know, you just don't know. Oklahoma's going to be tough. Oklahoma State's tough. That's always a tough game. You get Oklahoma at home. You go to Oklahoma State. We've won at Oklahoma State before. It's an interesting schedule, but you need that Baylor game because Kansas isn't that team anymore. It doesn't mean that Kansas is better than teams in the Big 12 or are any. He's just brought in, and this is what you're looking for some of these coaches. And this is why some of these coaches are struggling where they've changed. Brian Kelly had an atmosphere in Notre Dame that it seemed fit his style. It fit his style from where he came from. Going to LSU, that style is totally different. Expectations are total. Even though Notre Dame expectations are high, they're not expectations in the SEC. I didn't understand that. Jimbo Fisher struggling at Texas A&M. Just a lot of these coaches struggling in places that you didn't think they would struggle, but it's not the same. And I always say that to people when they ask, you know, they're asking about Dave Aranda and they're asking about Matt Campbell. They have a certain way they want to do things. That doesn't work everywhere. It doesn't work in Texas. It doesn't work in Oklahoma right now. It doesn't work in the SEC in that upper echelon right now. Win at all costs, no matter what. Different opinions on how they handle student athletes, all that. It's a bigger deal. And the biggest thing that I brought out of that Iowa State Ohio game, we had a number that we needed to get to, and we got to it. And I think that's what we. I think that's what we all were looking for, because that's a letdown game. We've had letdown games like that before. I've been there. I've watched them. So I was pretty excited about that, and I was pretty excited for the University of Iowa. Listen, you know what? When it's fan and we're having a good time and we're barking back and forth at each other, I'm all for that. I tell the Hawkeye Huddles that guys that all the time. It's fun to have that back and forth, and they've had the over on the back and forth when it comes head to head. Season to season hasn't been as big a thing as head to head was. But it's a little bit different when it's these kids. And as a quarterback, Spencer probably doesn't deserve that. I actually thought the University of Iowa did a pretty good job of Kirk being out there answering the questions. I think in a whole, and it doesn't happen in a lot of college football, that coordinators get out there and you know, take a bunch of questions. And for Kirk, probably not something that he wants. I don't think it's something that Matt Campbell wants either. I think he does enough to push and move forward his assistant coaches. I don't think that it's not going to do any good for Brian Ferentz to take 15 different questions on the same thing and have to give the same answer and have people get angry at it. I think Kirk did a good job. I think he did what coaches do. I don't know what class these guys take to master how to get away from answering questions, but they are really, really good at it. And I think that's probably the right way. It was good to see Iowa come back and get a W. Now they got 3 or 4 games in a row here that are going to be really tough. And they're going to have to play better even than they did the other night. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. We're going to talk a little more college football before we jump into NFL. Be right back.
101.3 FM and 1700 The Champ
and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Steen on Sports. Join the conversation on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Monday. Last segment of this first hour already. I want to thank Coach Kevin O'Hare for coming in and talking a little all sports. And that's kind of before basketball season. That's what we get him in here for. I just miss talking to him every once in a while. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook at 1700 The Champ as well. Let me see here. We have coming up right after the show tonight, we're going to go right into pregame for the Titans and Bills. And when that game gets over, we're going to, it will jump right into Vikings and Eagles. Hawkeye Huddle tomorrow night at 6. Chiefs Kingdom on Tuesday at 7. So those things coming up. This next segment will be brought to you by Northwest Bank. 2 locations in Ankeny, 1 in West Des Moines, a new branch in Ames, 3 locations in Omaha, and many, many more around the state. Commitment that you can count on, taking care of your personal, business, mortgage, agriculture, wealth management, and private banking. They do it in a way that really lives up to their motto, the commitment you can count on, taking care of you and all of your banking. The most important thing you have to do, if you're looking for a new bank, it's the first time you're out looking for a bank, you need to sit down at your computer, pull up northwestbank.com, check out everything that they have, see where that fits in what you're looking for, and be prepared. That's all we ask. It's not that you have to be prepared, but I think it's an easier thing to do if you're prepared, because I know they are going to be prepared. And you're going to go in and they're going to tell you all the different things that will help with what you have on your piece of paper, that what your needs are. That's where the commitment comes into. It's not about, I got to get you in here, I got to get you signed up, and then I'm never going to talk to you again. No, that's not what it is. That's not commitment. What Northwest Bank does is commitment, and that is why they're so good. Northwest Bank, member FDIC. Okay, just a quick going over some college football over the weekend. Florida State, Louisville, great game. Florida State now 3-0, 1-0 in the ACC. How good is Florida State? I don't know. How much is Louisville struggling? They played better yesterday. I mean, Saturday. It was better. Georgia took care of South Carolina. I do not, when you look at this score, and it's 48-7. And then the next one down is Alabama wins 63-7. They played Louisville Monroe. Georgia played South Carolina, SEC team. I think Georgia is the best team in college football. I think Alabama's right there. I think Oklahoma's right there. I think I'm missing Oklahoma, Louisville. Oklahoma State's really good as well. USC is playing well, and Michigan, Ohio State. I mean, it's a lot of the same, right? And we get that. Michigan is doing exactly what they need to do. They played UConn. They beat UConn 59-0. Ohio State took care of Toledo. Oklahoma took care of Nebraska. Nebraska fired. So they fired Scott Frost. They fired their defensive coordinator. A lot of people. So a lot of talk this weekend. I mean, we talked about it on the show on Thursday. We had a golf outing with Deaver Roofing on Friday. Talked a ton that day about the same on who goes to Nebraska. I think it's going to be young, skew a little younger than what some people think. More offensive minded. I don't see some of those big time coaches going to Nebraska. I get the Big Ten money, but if you're talking prestige, man, you fired 2 coaches. You probably shouldn't have kept them as long as you did. A lot of turmoil. I don't know who sticks that out. USC had a pretty easy game. Oklahoma State did what they were supposed to do. Kentucky did what they were supposed to do. Arkansas struggled against Missouri State. That was kind of surprising. Washington beat Michigan State. Wasn't expecting that. Washington played really well. Oregon came back from a couple of lackluster games and put a whooping on BYU, which I was not expecting. Texas A&M, you know, they get Miami at home. They don't lose there very often. 17-9. Not the type of game that you thought it was going to be. Utah came out, came back and took care of San Diego State. Tennessee looked good. North Carolina State beat Texas Tech. I thought that was a little surprising, but it was at North Carolina State. Baylor beat Texas State 42-7. You know, I'm looking at their stuff. Baylor once again, I think It used to be when I remember the first four or five times that I watched Baylor and Iowa State play, and I was surprised at how big Baylor was, and how fast they were at some of those most important positions. And I think they're almost, Iowa State and Baylor are almost mirror images anymore. So that's going to be an interesting game to see how that goes. Ole Miss took care of Georgia Tech. Texas played better. Robinson ran for 183 yards. That's a big deal. Penn State just beat up on Auburn. Pittsburgh with a big win. Missouri with another nice win. Cincinnati took care of what they needed to take care of. Indiana beat Western Kentucky 33-30. That's probably closer than what most people thought. I mean, you're just kind of setting up. UCLA beat South Alabama 32-31, probably not playing as well as they'd like to. Rutgers beat Temple 16-14. So it shows, they struggle on offense. But they play really tough defense. It's just going to be, if anything, and listen, the way I'm betting right now, I wouldn't listen to me for anything, but there is no way in the world I would bet the over on this game unless it was like 12, and then I'd bet the over. I think that's going to be one of those games. Notre Dame came back, won 24-17 over California. They're gonna struggle all year. Tulane beat K-State. Not a good look for K-State. I think a lot more was expected of them this year. Minnesota took care of Colorado. Colorado is not a good football team. How far a proud football team has fallen. Wisconsin took care. Appalachian State with an amazing, if you didn't see that, that was an amazing game. Kansas beat Houston. Houston struggling this year, which I don't know, a ton of people thought that was going to happen. LSU beat Mississippi State 31-16. Still struggling. I don't know. I'm worried about coach. That's a difficult situation. I don't know. Let's see here. Memphis beat Arkansas State. Maryland beat SMU. It actually was a good win. One of the big ones here, Eastern Michigan beat Arizona State. Scott Frost at least got fired in private. It looked like Herm Edwards got fired by the president and the athletic director on the field. I don't even know if he got to go in to the locker room afterwards. I feel bad. Herm Edwards is a good guy. Coaching in the NCAA, coaching in the NFL, coaching in general is not easy. Dealing with that many people, not easy. Dealing with fans, not easy. Dealing with boosters, not easy. It's an interesting thing. So when you're looking right now in the ACC, Clemson, Florida State, Syracuse, North Carolina, and Wake Forest are all 3-0. Big 12, Kansas is 3-0. Iowa State is 3-0. Oklahoma State, and TCU is 2-0. All the rest are 3-0. Baylor's 2-1. K-State is 2-1. Texas is 2-1. Texas Tech is 2-1. And West Virginia is 1-2. Indiana's 3-0, Penn State's 3-0, Maryland's 3-0, Michigan is 3-0, Ohio State is 3-0, Rutgers is 3-0, Michigan State is 2-1, Northwestern is 1-2, Minnesota's 3-0, Iowa's 2-1, Wisconsin 2-1, Illinois 2-1, Purdue and Nebraska. Purdue is 1-2, Nebraska is 1-3. Independence, BYU 2-1. Notre Dame kind of sitting there at 1-2, not where they want to be, not where they're used to being. I think he gets a little bit of time, though. USC, Oregon State, and UCLA, Washington State, all 3-0 in the Pac-12. We'll talk the Big Ten and the Big 12 when we come back. We're going to talk NFL games. We're going to talk NFL games tonight. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Be right back.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3.